that was a treat to see that Miss Betty was going to be introducing me today. And I do recall vividly that first opportunity to go on a global mission trip here at Perimeter. I'll tell you a funny little story it was my first trip for Perimeter, my first trip to Guatemala, and I was trying to keep in touch with some of my supporters for that trip, and particularly my family. And I remember writing a text message home one night, and I said, this isn't toe-dipping evangelism. I'm in the deep end, but Dad's still afloat. And I remember that vividly because I've used it in various other fashions. But my kids immediately all text my wife, Sally, and said, was that Dad? So anyway, I'll have to admit, and it makes it even worse when I look at the next five speakers you have. It's hopefully I do myself justice and be worthy of being asked to do this. I'm grateful for that opportunity. I am a little apprehensive about it, but you know what? I feel like this word, what I want to share, the stories I want to tell, need to be told throughout the church, because it's really a reflection of the membership of the church and God's faithfulness to each and every one of our members, the generosity of that, the outpouring that we experience in our giving. And so we're grateful. And I'll talk a little bit about that to start with. And but first, I just want to share with you, while I'm a little anxious, I actually feel like it's a very important subject matter that I share that with you. So I'll get through it. Hopefully you'll enjoy some of the stories. I want to let you in a little secret, and don't tell anybody, but I've got the best job in the whole church. And I've have shared that with other people, and I truly believe that. I feel like I've got a window to some incredible things that are occurring, and hopefully today I can share a few of those stories with you that make you understand why I'm saying that. Let me just share real quick. My role is I'm the director of Kingdom Investments, and it is a lay-led ministry here at Perimeter. There are one chairman, not me, one chairman, one voting chairman, and six board members. And each of those six board members have a three-year term. And so every year, two fall off and two come on, two fall off, two come on. And it goes like that. And in my time frame, and I'm in my fifth fiscal year of doing this, I've just been so blessed by the seriousness and the diligence and the stewarding that our board, and you can feel comfort in this as well, that the board members that have been serving on this role take it incredibly serious. They do treat it like a board, where they're very prepared, and when they come, deliberations sometimes are difficult, but usually at the end, it's through great discernment we've come up with a united answer. So I'm really pleased to share that with you. As I said, their tenure is 3 years roughly, and then the one thing that I think is critically important. Some people think that, how many people come, Jim? How many people come to you every month or every week with some suggestion about a grant, or how do I do a grant? And I said, not as many as you would think. And part of that is because nothing comes to Kingdom Investments directly, straight to my office or through one of the officers of the church and directly into my office. But they come through sponsoring ministries around the church. And I'll get to that a little bit in a minute, because there are certain criteria that really either lead you to continue in your discussion, or it stops right there. And so I'll talk about that in just a second. But let me just say first, another I was sitting in this room probably about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and it was at a global outreach dinner after church on Sunday, and it may have been longer than that ago, but it feels like, and I was sitting one of these tables up front, and at my table was Susan Lee and Travis Carr, and we kind of introduced ourselves around the table and shared with Travis that that I was the director of Kingdom Investments, and immediately he started, you know, honing in on, you got to come to Harvesters because there's this feeling around the church that we know we a lot of money is doing a lot of good things, but we don't know what those things are. So I'm here today probably because Travis has said, hey, let's share those stories because they are incredible. One of the great things, and Gordon Moore, 34-year CFO of this church, has been before the whole membership numerous times, and he shares a statistic, and that statistic is that through the generosity of the members of Perimeter Church, we're able to give more than 30% of our giving, of our income, to organizations outside the walls of this church. So he calls it extension ministries. So that could be missionaries, it could be mission trips, certain portion of. It could be the fact that 84% of the children that come through camp in the summertime are not members of Perimeter Church. It could be a portion of it coming from Kingdom Investments through the efforts of the Kingdom Investment Board. Studying certain grant requests and having the ability to appropriately discern how those funds should be used. And so, interesting enough, the 30%, and we were pretty consistent for a number of years, but the 30% had a fall off during COVID. And part of the reason that was is that camp was down in numbers. They actually didn't even hold camp for a full summer 1 year. Camp was down in numbers because of, more so because of the lack of counselors than it was students. The students wanted to come, but they didn't have enough counselors to bring in that influx that we normally get. And so that occurred, and then there were fewer mission trips. I don't know if Ken's still in here, but you know, there's so few of the mission trips that we were planning to go overseas, like the one Betty and I took for Guatemala. There were so fewer of those that there wasn't the inflow of people asking for sponsorship by people like yourselves and going through the church to do it that way. So, and so it fell to about 25%. But I think we're seeing that come back, and particularly with camp, they feel like they've got more counselors this summer, and they have the opportunity to bring in more kids than they anticipated. So those are the issues that I wanted to share. Now, I was talking to Gordon a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, Kingdom Investments in that realm of 30% given outside the walls of the church. We were talking about that, and I said, you know, it's, yes, that's a big number, though. That's a really big number. And so, you know, Kingdom Investments, you know, we are budgeted for $1 million to distribute over the course of a calendar year. So we're given a monthly check, and that's considered our giving budget. And that equates out at the end of the year to $6,666, something like that. It comes out, the crazy number like that. But we'll find $5 to make it to a million. But anyway, so just so you're aware that that we are a part of that extension ministry, but we're not, you know, a lot of people felt like that Kingdom Investments was a significant part. We're a part. But when I said that to Gordon, Gordon came back quickly and said, no, but it's been an incredibly impactful part. And it because and I will share with you how I mean that is that there are often times where we have a ministry come to us and it ask for an extraordinary amount of money that, you know, would perhaps take half or maybe more of our budget than annual budget if we were to give it, And so, you know, sometimes we say, hey, we're going to not be able to give at that level, but we would like to give, you know, some type of an endorsement to you. And we're just curious if that's beneficial to them. They said, absolutely, we want the perimeter name to help us identify other opportunities. And because we require a match for our gifts, that's another way that they could say we've got a matching gift that we're challenged to raise. So those are a couple of things. I just want to leave with that that the group that serves as your board members, they're incredibly good stewards. You know, they steward those funds well. It's not something that they just say, I'll just give, you know, this amount. They're fighting, and I hope I share some of these stories today. I hope in sharing these stories today that you'll see that, and it's evident that that's occurring. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is kind of a historical perspective of Kingdom Investments. Kingdom Investments, and I will say there's somebody in the room that was on the very first board of Kingdom Investments, Jerry Black. And Jerry could probably tell you, at the beginning, they were trying to figure out, what's our charter? What are we supposed to be doing? So almost half of the year 2007, they developed the charter, and it was, fortunately, it was Steve Ernest, the husband of Stacy Ernest, our new CFO, was instrumental in putting together that charter. And that was in 2007. And we gave out 5 grants in 2008. And that's the beginning of 327 grants that have been distributed. 186 different organizations have been recipients of those grants. And the total dollar amount over that time period is $15,333,000. And so that's the monies that Perimeter and membership of Perimeter have dispersed around the globe, not just here in our footprint, around the globe. And we'll talk a little bit about those stories. That I said a minute ago that on every KI grant, we require a dollar-for-dollar match to be received within the first 12 months of them receiving the grant. So they get a grant at the March meeting. They've got to the end of March the next year to raise a match dollar for dollar. And so the Kingdom Impact is the $30 million. Now, the wisdom of Jerry and the team that first created what this thing would look like, we don't want to be a recurring giver. We don't want to be a sustaining giver, one that you can come to every year and get that $10,000. We'd rather give something that's catalytic and special for your organization. I'll come back to that in just a second. But the way that we were requiring the match was to help them identify people and entities that would be their sustaining givers. And so when we do that, I often tell some of the organizations, they say, I'd love to, you know, find one person that matches, you know, your gift. And I'm like, I wish you wouldn't. I wish you would get 20 people to match that gift, or 200 people if it's a big number to match that people, so that they're there every year, year after year. So that's the logic. That's the thought process, the wisdom of that early board to make those kind of decisions on our behalf. Let me just finish this part, and this kind of sets the stage for me telling a couple of stories. The interesting thing is the within the framework of Kingdom Investments, we've always had certain things we do and certain things we don't do. And when I came on board, that was written on 3 pages. And what I found is I looked back and I said, well, we just said that on that page. And then I looked, oh, we just said it twice before. So anyway, we got it down to 1 page. And I'd be welcome to share this sheet with you. It's called our grant review guidelines. And it's really kind of how we think about when we get a grant in, that's really kind of the benchmark. If does it fit in these all these categories? And so there are three big, what I call the three big ideas that they must, a grant that comes to Kingdom Investments. And our sponsors around the church, Kingdom sponsors are Global Outreach, Community Outreach, and Church Planting. And then there's a little, the board members that work with Church Planting also deal with any other area, like MAS, could Metro Atlanta Seminary could be bringing a grant, and they would deal with that organization to make sure that they've got everything, you know, tight and right to come to the board. And so we work with them in advance to help them. We're trying to be successful on everyone, but sometimes we have to, you know, push them to make it, you know, fit. And so the big three ideas are that every grant, every organization that comes with a grant must be gospel-centric and not afraid to proclaim that they're a Christian organization in their materials, either in their website or their pamphlets or anything like that. That make it a requirement. I remember one of my first meetings with Randy Schlicht, and he had a wonderful young lady visiting with me, and I had done some homework in advance, and I never saw anything that said anything about being Christian. So I said, could you share with me if your organization's Christian organization? She said, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, that's pretty obvious because you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And she said, well, the reason we don't share that is because we probably couldn't get money from IBM, Coca-Cola, or Delta Airlines. And so she was trying to push hard, and, you know, I'm new, so saying, well, I got to do what I'm supposed to do. And so I shared that, well, we're a church, and our membership would prefer that, you know, it's gospel focused on what we're endeavoring to do. So that's the first one. The second one is that this organization that comes to us for a grant is aligned with an outward facing ministry of Perimeter Church. Global Outreach, Community Outreach, Church Planting. Enough said there. We want to make sure that it would be something that might be beneficial to the ladies and that are operating Community Outreach. You know, somebody that would be willing to receive our volunteers, somebody that would be willing to have a group from our Rush camp, our Rush week, come out there and help them with, you know, minor cleanup around their facilities or things like that, that we want to be engaged with them and aligned and focused with them. Third thing is that that what we're offering, what they're asking for is offering an assistance in them to transform their organization. So if they're operating at a level like this, we want to give them something that'll get them up. And I'm going to share a couple of those here in a couple of minutes that really are, it's evidence that it's catalytic for this organization. It's taken them to a new level in operating. So let's go to the next page. And one of the things I did here is I wanted to say, this goes back to that comment that Gordon shared about, we have been, Kingdom Investments has been impactful. And this is just a small cluster of ministries that were birthed here at Perimeter Church. And many of you have probably, I'm looking around the room, and I know folks that are big volunteers and work weekly, every week with some of these organizations. So I'm grateful for that and thankful. And I think you too probably are thankful that Perimeter was involved in their, you know, their launch, if you will. And so just this week, my associate sent me a note one morning, said, look what was on CBS local news last week. And it was fully furnished. There was a great little thing on CBS Atlanta about fully furnished and their needs. I was talking to Jeff Myers last week, and Jeff shared that they have 56 clients where they don't have any furniture for yet. So that's they're being they've been swamped in the last few years of new entities that are that they're helping and engaging with to take out furnishings. And what that's saying is not saying that they're underfunded. Well, they probably always need funding, but you know what Jeff was saying, that we need mattresses, we need sofas, we need dining tables, those kind of things. So so if you have any, make that phone call and they'll come pick it up at your house. But anyway, we've given grants to these entities, and some of them have many of these now are their own 501c3. I think all of them are actually. They have their own 501c3. So many of them are very mature organizations. I'll tell you, one of the ones we just recently gave to, and I felt really wonderful about this, was Eubora asked not for some of their projects, but to help us rebuild Pastor Warrelli's church. Pastor Warrelli's church has been going on the whole 20 years that the Tanzania team here at Perimeter has been involved, and they were operating on a 110 seat church. There was 110 people, and they had pictures of people all around the walls. You know, 110 seats were used, and everybody around the walls, and felt really good that the team went and assisted. I say not, we didn't do the whole thing, but we assisted in a contribution and a grant for the reconstruction of a 300-seat church there in Tanzania, on the exact same footprint, by the way. So that was pretty neat. So if there are some other ministries that, if they weren't birthed here, they were certainly we had an impact, and we enhanced their, you know, their history, if you will. And it would be, I mean, I could just start thinking of, you know, Rainbow Village, Good Samaritans Clinic, Neighborhood Co-op, Duluth Hands of Christ, Street Grace. I mean, just name after name of the ministries that we've assisted, but Kingdom Investments also in its system in some type of way in their history. So let's go on to the next, and we'll start looking at some of the... okay, so I wrote down a lot more than I'm ever going to be able to talk about in the time that's remaining. But sometimes I'll hear a story at a KI meeting. KI means Kingdom Investments. I apologize, using my own vernacular there. But at a meeting, and it's just you know, wows you. It's a time of experiencing incredible joy to watch you know, the needs of an organization and the board to work together to kind of figure out how is this going to work and how can we be a benefit to them. And so let me share, the first one I want to share is One Voice Fellowship. You may not know this, but Bob Cargo, head of church planting here at Perimeter, you know about the church plants that we do for our own church plants, like Tony Thomas just had one recently, or Andrew had one a couple of years ago, and so we are engaged in those kind of church plants, but also Bob has a network of other churches that do the same thing in their own footprint. And sometimes we will have the opportunity to raise some funds or help raise funds for that church down, let's say it's in Boca Raton, Florida, at Spanish River Church. That was one that have helped in the past. And then likewise, if Tony were to go down there, he might receive a grant from their church planning commission. So that's kind of how it works. Well, One Voice Fellowship is probably a name you've never heard of, and it wasn't one of the Perimeter church plants right here in our own footprint. It actually came to Bob's attention by Joe Brand, who works for Generis, and Joe was helping churches with raising funds. And Joe was a former member here at Perimeter, and he called Bob and he says, "I've seen the most interesting idea for a church plant that I've ever seen, and you're not going to believe it." And so he shared it with him, and then Bob got a letter from the pastor, and then Bob came to me and said, "Hey, would you and the two church planting liaisons, would you be willing to have a phone call with this pastor up in Falls Church, Virginia?" And in Falls Church, Virginia, it's very similar to what we would say here in Atlanta of Clarkston. It's where refugees come, and there's a significant number of countries represented, very similar to what we have in Clarkston. And what this gentleman, who was on staff at Alexandria Presbyterian, he was going to launch a multi-ethnic, multi-language church in Falls Church, Virginia. Crazy idea. But he was willing to put on the screen on a Sunday morning his sermon, his scripture, his scripture writings, his prayers in multiple languages so that everybody that came to that church would hear in their own language. Well, he perfected it even more, and he found an organization. If he did his sermon by Wednesday and he gave it to the organization, they would publish it on Kindle apps, on little Kindle devices, with their particular language. So it could be Chinese, it could be Uyghur, it could be Spanish, it could be French, it could be multi. Just this Easter, I got a letter just this week. It was their monthly newsletter, and I got a note that one of their members recited his testimony in front of everybody. And on the screen, they had eight different languages represented that day to hear his testimony. So what a look, what a imagery of heaven. Multicultural, multi-language. The one cool thing about this is that board of ours, they started thinking about how can we do this and help them make it cheaper? How can we do it maybe like an app? And I was just talking with Ellen. I don't know if Eleanor's in here, but she was sharing last week that at Easter, somebody from Russia had come to the church service and how she had used Google Translate to help that person understand what was being said from the pulpit. And what was interesting is when we were in Poland this past summer and we were serving the Ukrainians, we were in a Polish church service right there in Warsaw, and one of our members had the Google app or the Google app for Translate, and the words for the music were on the screen. She just punched on that in English, and she was sitting there singing the words. So that was the kind of the precursor for me, was to watch what our board was saying. Maybe we need to help them identify an app. But nonetheless, we shared that, and I think everybody loves, within the board that were involved in that, love that particular story. The next one I want to talk about is Spectrum Autism. Spectrum Autism is ministry done here in Atlanta for about 20 years. It was started by Claire Dees, and many of you probably know Claire. She, at the time when she started it, she had an autistic child, and felt the real need for not only just encouragement for the parents, but interaction for the children, and also times for respite for the parents or the caregivers, and just started through the years just creating what became Spectrum Autism. Pretty significant organization. And they came to Kingdom Investments. Pretty neat story. Our director of community outreach at the time, Deborah, hopefully most of y'all know that Deborah Potter's left the directorship of community outreach. She's gone to work for National Christian Foundation. I think it's a really a wonderful opportunity both for Deborah and for our church to provide those resources in a number of ways. But she's been replaced by Polly Pope, which, by the way, was one of those former Kingdom Investment board members. So she's well equipped to understand all these ministries that we interact with. And so Spectrum came, and Deborah has always, in that particular ministry, felt like it was outside the walls of our footprint. It was beyond our footprint here in Metro Atlanta, and where we wanted to send volunteers or people to put on birthday parties and things like that. And the door opened for Claire to buy a set of buildings right there off the square from in Duluth, Georgia, and renovate those. And she came to us for asking for money to help with the renovation. And what was really cool thing about this, we gave the grant in September of we gave it in September, and it was early December. Deborah passed on an email to me, and it said, check this email from Claire. And Claire was just so full of joy. She says, the Lord is in this project. We are so grateful for you, Deborah, for believing in us and taking us through the Kingdom investment process. We're about 60% of our match. That was only like 3 months later, and they'd already raised that. And that was that encouragement that we want to really help to help our ministries that we're working with. And so that was on, let's say, a Tuesday. The very next day, Deborah says, check this. And it was Claire again. I've just received a drop-off at our door for a sizable check. We've met our match. And that's when I see things like that, that's when I said, God is in this. And she said that exact same thing. She just said, we're going to complete this project, and we're going to be, anyway, just sometimes it chokes you up. So I'm going to skip down to Evangelical Poland. You've probably heard about this one a few times, I imagine. That's our friend Andrew Gorski, and I say that because Ken's one of you. And he's probably bought Andrew to share with you before. I'm going to be real brief on this one, and mainly because we've got something new about to happen there, and we're hopeful we can be a part of that too. But I look back on how many of you guys have done the I know there's several. I don't see some of you, but have done the ELF trip where you've served. Yep, Judy there. Yeah, there we are. There's Charles back there. So there's probably we got both sets of Johnsons, I think, that have been there, the Dwight and Virginia and Brenda and Bob. And so, you know, big groups of that. I actually worked with some of those teams that went to Poland. And during that time, we all got to know Andrew. And one of the discussions that several of us had when we were there was Andrew wanting to pursue something that the evangelicals in France were having success at. And so we Kingdom Investments got wind of that. That was actually done right when I first got started in Kingdom Investments. And so we were there, Kingdom Investments Perimeter Church was there at the beginning of what became known as Evangelical Poland. That is the collaboration of denominations of evangelical churches within Poland. It was built on the similar footprint as what Chip Sweeney did here with Unite in the Atlanta, Metro Atlanta area. And so Evangelical Poland was birthed back in 2018, and Kingdom Investments gave three years in a row some seed money to help them continue to keep the momentum going one year after another for the first 3 years. When we finished the third year, so we were there for the beginning and the launch of Evangelical Poland. And then at the end of the third year, we wanted to keep that momentum going for them. And our board said, hey, let's ask Andrew if he has an idea that he thinks it could be implemented in the next 5 years. What would it take us to share with him to get it started now? Not wait for 5 years, just to do it now. And what would that idea be? Short order. Andrew comes back. Marty had that idea in his mind, and he wanted a couple of things, but one of them, the really cool thing, was he wanted to create a 501c3 called Impact Poland, where it would be an opportunity for people in the U.S. to be able to see a ministry, look at other ministry components, and be able to fund and help pay for some of those ministries right there on one website. And so that's all being built right now and on the way. So we were there with Andrew at the beginning of Evangelical Poland. We were there at the beginning of Impact Poland, where it's the 501c3, and we can contribute here in the U.S. And then we hope to be there. We'll be looking at a grant in the next month, or maybe two. It's either May or June. We're going to be looking at a grant for the building, the conference center that we all saw on Spotlight Sunday a couple of weeks ago, of how Andrew would be able to bring those multi-denominations together and have, you know, seminars and teaching opportunities and camps, much like our camp is. So pretty cool to be a part and be a witness to the end result, not just that, you know, we gave the money, but we've been watching it grow and build. And then let me just say one more on this page is that I'll do is help the persecuted. I remember the meeting about this. We had received a grant. Help the Persecuted is a Metro Atlanta-based ministry started by Josh Youssef. Josh's father is Michael Youssef at Church of the Apostles. And Josh started this ministry and got to know us and asked if he could bring a grant. And when we got on the phone with Josh for the very first time to hear about the grant, it was right at the beginning of the madness in Afghanistan, where the airport was being swamped every morning and just all that craziness. And Kim Branscombe asks Josh, he said, are you involved in Afghanistan? And he said, yes. Would you like to hear about it? And we didn't even open the grant that they had come with. And we just sat there and talked about their needs for getting the people out of Afghanistan. And I'm happy to say that he was a part of a much bigger political structure that had convened to try to get some of our serious partners that had helped us, Christian partners and other individuals that had helped us navigate in Iraq. And so a lot of those people weren't getting out. And they felt like that was just a travesty that should be, you know, we should be taking care of or of those that have helped us. And so what occurred was that there was this consortium of pretty significant political people. Pompeo was in on some of the meetings that they had, and Brownback, the former governor of Kansas. So there was some big wigs in there, and they were trying to negotiate. They called it the Marco Polo Project, and they were trying to figure out ways to either get the individuals out by land or out by air. And so we were actually shared that. We gave them a grant to help make it possible. They loaded planes for a couple of days in a row and unloaded them, and that was the Taliban, you know, playing games with them. They would fill up a plane and then take them off the plane. So these people think they were leaving, and no, they aren't leaving. And then finally, and I would get pictures from Help the Persecuted office, and I said, am I allowed to share these? No, not allowed to share these. Okay. So a couple of weeks later, I get a note, and they said, you're allowed to share these. And so I go see it. It was people on the plane and pictures of just different Afghani individuals on a plane. And I was like, oh, my. And I'm allowed to share. And I called and I said, why are we allowed to share? And he said, they're on the ground in the United Arab Emirates. And so they had already been shipped out. And that was 543 people that weren't going to get out unless somebody took the cause to do it. The government had said we've got our people out, and so anyway, I share that with you that just you know some of those stories that we don't see it when we're reading the grant, we don't see it when we're deliberating the grant, but the outcomes have been significant. Let's go to the next page real quick, and what I'm going to share with you right now is one of those that took a little while for us to see. Love Justice, the very first one. I'm going to try to get this one. Yeah, I can do this. Love Justice. Love Justice is an anti-trafficking ministry. What I mean by that is it's either sex trafficking or human labor trafficking for, you know, say, young kids maybe and young boys. And so Love Justice is a friend of ours, Perimeters, for a long time. That was where we... It was tied, has ties to a church down in South Africa where our youth go to, our campus outreach teams go to. Brian Brown has taught Life on Life to their church. So there's a history there. And the history is one of the staff's wives is responsible for this trafficking organization, anti-trafficking organization, in the continent of Africa. And she asked Brian to, if we could review a grant for her. And we gave her a grant. And the first couple of months, it was January 2020. So we know what happens in late February 2020. And they were working on two things. They wanted to have an app that people could download and identify with some things that were happening in their life. So, for instance, if I was a young lady and I was told that, hey, would you like to get a free college education and would you like to have a job down in South Africa and, you know, things like that. So they would find these individuals up in the upper part of the continent and they would give them money and say, hey, we're going to get you a job down in South Africa and life will be great. And or maybe young boys that they kidnap and take down there for help in the fields or what have you. And so the app would be a lot of times those people travel by themselves. They're put on a bus or a train or a plane by one trafficker, and they're going to be met by another. You're going to be met by so-and-so. She'll know what you look like. You've got the, you know, wear that same badge that you have, that kind of thing. And then that person would move them on down. And so that's kind of how it was. So if you started to feel uncomfortable, this app, if you answer some of the questions, it would be pretty obvious that this isn't going right. This, and they were asking for help. They created the app, put it out there on billboards and signage in airports, train stations, and bus terminals, and told the people that work in the terminals what this is about. And if you see somebody that looks, you know, scared, would you call our number? So we were making friends in the right places in that realm. And so COVID comes. When COVID comes, our grant was, I think, for $40,000 for a couple of things that we were doing for them. And when COVID comes, they send, once again, Ken Branscombe was working over in Global at the time, and they sent Ken a note, would you be willing to let us take half of the monies that you've given us and use it for the purchase of food because everybody's starving here. The whole continent's locked down. People can't go out to get, if they don't grow it in their yard, they're not probably not eating. And so they needed food and they wanted to be the delivery. They wanted to use this personnel that they had groomed to look for traffic people. They wanted to use them to be the deliverers of that food. And through the wisdom, once again, of our Kingdom Investment Board, they said, let's don't do that. Let's don't buy the food with the KI grant, because when this pandemic is over with, traffic is going to be rampant, and we're going to need to have this thing up and running and saving people. So that was what they did. And then the second sentence after that was, let's have it with Global Outreach. Let's each of us do $10,000 and pay for food. And so that's what we did. That's how we paid for the food delivery and the food purchase and delivery. And then the cool thing was that they stayed to the staff of Love Justice, stayed to their mission, and they were continuing as they were going out delivering food. They were actually going to those stops along the way. They were going to bus terminals. They were going to train stations. They were going to airports, which very few of those were operating, but some were. And they were making themselves known, hey, this is what we're looking for. Do you need any lunch? We need any dinner? That kind of thing, helping those guys as well. And then the people that around surrounding communities. And that was probably in April that we gave the money. And in May, we get a picture and it was a photograph. And the picture was of five young teenage African boys standing just kind of, you know, in a group, just casually there. And the story was, said, what a blessing. She said, today, one of our minders that was taking out food was called by a person at a bus terminal, one of the managers of the bus terminal he had made friends with. And he says, I think you need to come over here right now. There's some folks that I think you'd be looking for. And so he makes his way over to the bus terminal, and he finds out that the trafficker could no longer afford to feed and house those 16 young men during COVID because they weren't making money for him. And so he just released them. And man, I was thinking, you know, what the enemy used for evil, God used it for his good and our glory. And it's just a wonderful story of no one knew that was going to happen through that. And no one knew that, you know, just how we handled it was going to happen. And it's not just about perimeter. It's just about God, you know, steering us and you know, the Holy Spirit with us in that regard. There's so many great stories. Thornton Education Fund, we're actually going to have a meeting with them this week in our building. But what a cool company or organization. That is, what a name. You know, you'd sit there, what in the world does that organization? That started over 20 years ago. It was a missionary named Thornton that I don't even know if his name was Thornton. But he went into China, and what he was seeing in China was all these refugees were coming from the western part of China into the big cities and building those big cities up. This 20 something years ago, they're building hotels and all sorts of buildings and prominence for the people in the government, the people in the big cities. But for these refugees that came in from the West, it was just a dreadful existence. You know, they built them shack homes, and oftentimes they would bring their children, and the children weren't allowed to be educated in the regular schools. And so this gentleman started and created education opportunities, schools for the refugees. And to this day, that's the facade, if you will. That's how they are helping in the refugee community. But at the same time, they're actually using it as an opportunity to introduce themselves and share the gospel with these refugees. And Now, right today, there's over 2,000 home churches that were created through that methodology. And a home church is usually between 10 and 20 people, and they try to keep it small so that it doesn't become loud and people knowing about it. So that was a pretty neat story that they understand that, you know, that's our mission. Yeah, we'll help educate. Well, in those 20 years, they've been able to raise up their own teachers, and they're teaching their own students. It's not through missionaries, it's through themselves. They actually built, Thornton helped build a huge conference center. I believe it's in Beijing, and huge conference center called the Running Bear, Running Deer. And they actually use that for summer camps for the children, and the parents usually can't participate because they're working, you know, 24 hours a day or 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so there's all the time the parents, you know, aren't able to do that. Well, Thornston uses that facility for summer camps, but when it's not being used, they invite the government officials and say, here, why don't you have a nice weekend on us? And, you know, just boldness, cleverness, they just able to just, you know, keep striding along. One of the cool things that Global Outreach did, Kingdom Investment wasn't a part of it, but they were building, there's a square somewhat like, it would remind me of what I would think Cambridge in Massachusetts is sort of like, but they said there's 15 universities within, you know, this 10 square blocks of universities. I'm just this 10 square mile, there's 15 universities. And in the middle of that, they have a square, and in the square, they built a coffee shop. Thornton built a coffee shop. And Kingdom we didn't get asked to invest in it, but Global did and shared some help with building that. But the really neat thing about that coffee shop, its name, The Upper Room. And they're just so bold and so courageous and so clever and just really got an interesting way of doing their ministry. And it does have an upper room, and that they have the coffee shop down below and the upper rooms where they have seminars and contests, like, you know, what we would say bingo today, but whatever that is, just probably more games on computers and stuff like that. So anyway, I got to close down. There's so many more I would love to tell you, but I'm going to do this real quick for Betty, but probably going to come up and get me real quick. But if you have a quick question that we can answer briefly, I'd love to take it. If not, I'll stay around, sit up here, and you guys can walk up. And yes, ma'am.
Do you help the city of
Clarkston? Great question. We help them in a number of ways. We help not the city specifically, but Friends of Refugees is one of our recent clients. We actually helped with a really great point. We helped with two parts of their ministry, and one I'll share real quick. One part was helping with Afghani families that have just recently in the last year come in. And we're helping the women. They weren't getting educated at home. They need to get educated here because many of them showed up without husbands or male partners. And so we need to help educate them. We need to help raise their families with them. And so that's one of the areas that we did. Another one is, I can't think of Bennett's last name, but Family Heritage Foundation was an organization started by one of the refugees that came through many years ago. And it's kind of an after-school program. We helped him purchase a building in Clarksville. So, yeah, we get our and we have a lot of interaction with, you know, some of the perimeter people that are involved out there. So, thank you. Yeah.
We think what you're doing is great, and both my wife and I are involved in the Fully Furnished Ministry on Tuesday mornings and are involved in Eubora as well. So your money is well spent there. But my question to you is this, are you familiar with or have you supported any organizations that may help our veterans?
I can't think of any. Thank you for bringing it up, and I'll try to get back to you if I'm mistaken. So I'm here 4.5 years, and the ones that have come through, while I've been here, I haven't seen that. Yeah. And actually, I'd love to hear how it might happen. So another question? Ken? Yeah. I knew this was going to happen.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Jim. Remember, she's got 3 minutes. So
I'll go quick. Thank you for covering all the stuff that I had no idea how you were going to get through. You did a great job. I have had questions and comments from harvesters in different settings, and I'm always kind of a little bit amazed that we don't know everything that's going on with the church. And you touched on it in January of 2020 when COVID hit, and our first request for humanitarian aid was Love Justice in South Africa. So global, I'm sure community outreach also, working with Kingdom Investment, said, how can we change gears and help people get through what we could see was going to be a huge crisis with COVID? From January of 2020 through December of 2020, we took on no Kingdom Investment grants that were not associated with COVID and humanitarian aid. That's where we devoted our resources, our money. During that year, we handled every request that came in from community outreach and global outreach, and that's basically where Kingdom Investments budget went and any money we could scrape together from global outreach. One of the things that you said that I think, this quick switch gears, that is so important is the networking that comes from these matching grants and how the members in Kingdom Investments get personally involved. So with Andrew Gorski and Evangelical Poland, both Jerry Timms, who we associate with Eubora, but Jerry, as you get to know Jerry, you find out he gets involved in a whole lot of things that we're not aware of. Jerry has been mentoring Andrew Gorski now for years, and two members of the Kingdom Investment Board, Carol and Daniel Wildermuth, has also been mentoring them. And Carol is on the IP board, and Jerry is joining the board this month. So that networking effect is not only financial, but it's people devoting their time and their expertise. In the case of Jerry, is all of his experience with Eubora business over the years and bringing that to bear to help Andrew Gorski. And then very briefly, because I think this is so critically important, Perimeter cannot get involved in ministries all over the world. And two that you saw up there, one Jim talked about, Thorsten Education, is doing things in China that we just can't be aware of now because of the way the Qi is clamped down, and they still have a network, and they work entirely through host country nationals in China. And the other is Trinity World Center for Missions, who works across sub-Sahara Africa. So with the exception of Tanzania, we just can't be involved there. And they put in missionaries, and as you would expect, Jerry is working with them to have a seminary putting in next to Quran. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to shut it down so that we can have your final announcements. But it's been a great joy. I love to share stories about this ministry, but I thank you for staying with me. And I know you will be blessed for the next couple of weeks. So thank you for my opportunity. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the heart of these people. We're so grateful for their demonstration of what the desire was of the leadership of Perimeter back in the 2007 era, was to provide that hand with the head and the heart, and through Perimeter, through our members, through Kingdom Investments, that hand was able to deliver for significant number of organizations, significant number of peoples have been saved, significant number of peoples have come to know you, Lord, and have you in their life. Grateful for this group, grateful for my chance to share with them. Lord, have me back one day and share more encouraging news for them and their loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.